subject of faith. I mean, the Bible says the just. Once again, I know I'm being very redundant, but I'm being very redundant. I'm being purposefully redundant because I want these truths to get down on the inside. You understand that these things are not very popular in today's church world. I also understand there's been a lot of abuse by the so-called faith message. But how many know if the Word of God tells us that the just shall live by faith? If Jesus constantly talked about how to live by faith, then why has the church taken faith, nominalized it almost as a side issue, minimized it to something that helps us cope when Scripture states point blank that this is the victory? How many are interested in victory? I know we got a few people missing today and it's hot, but you got to help me out. The more I have to pump you, the longer I'm going to preach. So if you want to be here 35 minutes or an hour and 35, you're going to have to help me out a little bit. The just shall live by faith. Yeah, there we go. And listen, here's the deal. We spent years on the message of grace because of so much abuse in the body of Christ. I know that this is not a popular message, because what the message of faith can do for many, instead of it being a message of hope and that, wait a minute, I don't have to just sit here and get my fanny whipped every day by the devil thinking somehow God's using him to put me in a certain place. Okay, I can actually do something about it, right? Romans 5:17, which declares those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign, this is what the Word of God says, shall reign in life. Now listen, that's the Word of God stating that if we receive, that's our job to receive, how? By faith. If we receive the abundance, aren't you glad it isn't just enough grace to get through? We'll try it again. Aren't you glad it isn't just enough grace to get through? Yeah. No, it's abundant grace, super abounding grace, hyper. You go to the original text, it talks about hyper grace. You hear people all the time mocking the grace movement. I realized in every group there is, if man is involved, there's going to be extremes. And I think one of the toughest things that a pastor has to deal with is keeping himself out of a ditch on either side. And then in that process, hopefully being able to keep the congregation out of a ditch on either side. How many know too much of an emphasis on a concept of grace will lead many people to believe that whatever happens, happens. God's grace is sufficient. Everything happens for a reason. Somehow God has a purpose. How many in here know better than that? We spent months and months on that. Our study on Job, okay? We know better than that. And how many know that isn't truly grace? Because grace in its purest definition means the ability of God. And when you got saved by grace through faith, you opened up your heart to grace, God's ability, and he moved in. Ephesians 1 says that we were accepted in the beloved, the original Greek, same terminology used as in Luke 2 with Mary, blessed and highly favored. Bump your neighbor and say, I am blessed and highly favored. The grace of God. Ephesians 1 tells us that the grace of God has super abounded towards us with all wisdom. All wisdom and prudence. This isn't just little, it's big grace. More than you could ever use, an overpayment. So we got all that, right? We spent time with grace. But here's the thing. Grace is God's love. It never changes. His favor towards you. Now, we have a part to play, and that is receiving. Yes. How do we receive? We receive by faith. Now, I realize a bunch of people have taken off with the message of faith and done a lot and said a lot of crazy things. But here's what your Bible still says. It doesn't say the just shall live by grace, because that's an already foregone conclusion. That's where we got started. That's God's law. He did that already. Do you realize that when Jesus died, and before he died, when he said it's finished, he meant it is completely finished. The work of God is done. The wrath of God is fully satisfied. Colossians and Ephesians both say every ordinance, every law, everything that was against us was nailed together with his body to the tree. How many are glad this morning for the shed blood of Jesus? How many are glad this morning for the broken body? Aren't you glad we can be healed and whole if we'll just dare to trust him? If you're here today and you don't know him, you can be that, because he's already paid for it. Those of us that are here and have put our faith in him, it's already a done deal. We just better hook up and find out how to release it in our life. Now, I understand the abuse of faith, the abuse of a message and of concepts. But listen, we better go back and examine what the Bible says, because the Bible says the just. Now, once again, I've asked this over and over again, week after week, because I want to really drive it home. First off, what does just mean? Justified. Give me another one. Just. There you go. That's the one I'm looking for. Just. So how many just do we have in the house today? If you hesitated, you need to go back and examine the Word of God. Righteous. How are we made righteous? By, what does Ephesians 2 tell us? 2, 8, and 9? By grace? By grace. Through faith. Goes on to tell us that it's not of works. Something, it's not anything you can brag on. Nobody in heaven is going to be able to say, I'm here because I was faithful. I'm here because I tithed. I'm here because I attended every service. I'm here because I was good. We're only going to be there because of one thing: our profession of faith flowing from a heart belief that Jesus was and is the complete answer to my life, the complete answer to every need in my life. So, just, righteous. Righteous by faith. So how are we made righteous? By faith. So the righteous by faith live by faith. Now, I know you've heard this 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and we're going to keep driving it home. How many are starting to realize it's starting to make its way through and in? How many are already making an adjustment in what's coming out of your mouth? We're going to go back. Listen, I know a lot of people steer clear of this because there has been a lot of abuse. How many have ever heard these phrases? Name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Okay? I know some of you have been with us every week, so this won't, it'll be, you'll hear it for the fifth time. Some of you have not been with us. I want to tell you that we are a name it, claim it. Let's go ahead and square our shoulders, head up. We are a name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. I don't like that terminology. But listen, Jesus told us the way to live by faith is to open your mouth and begin to agree with what God says about your life. And begin to make some declarations. You know, we have a movement right now. There's parts of it that are very good. There's a lot of it that is scary. You have the prophetic movement. How many know that God always has a move? He restores certain things of the body, and man gets a hold of it and takes it into a ditch on one side or the other. And there's so much now, it's like everything now is prophetic. And it seems like 90% of it anymore is about pathetic. They've forgotten that prophetic in its purest form is when I open my mouth, like Elijah in 1 Kings, and say, here's what the word of the Lord says. It will not rain for the course of 3.5 years. The Bible calls that, James by the Holy Spirit in James chapter 5 says, shoulders squared, head up, calling out what God has said in spite of what it looks like. Are you here today? He calls that fervent prayer. Fervent prayer is not begging and groveling and weeping and fasting and begging. Fervent prayer is when you open your mouth and dare to believe God's word in spite of the pain in my body, in spite of the doctor's report. I'm going to stand here and declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now listen, I understand we've heard this stuff before. And I know some people have stood, and it seems like it's not working. Listen, it takes time for the Word of God to get on the inside of you and to begin. Not because God's holding things up, but it takes time for things to go from here to down into the seat of our belief system. How many know God's not the problem? And I'm so glad the message of grace let me know that I'm not the problem. That He loves me, I'm beloved, but my thinking can be. So here's what the Word of God says, the just shall live by faith. Now, how many are familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:17? What does it say? Come on, some of you Bible thumpers, help me out. You ought to know this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So think about it. 2 Corinthians, everybody in here ought to know the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me give you a little hint. Therefore. Oh, that helped you out. Come on, people. Therefore. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he, she is a new creature. Old things. Come on, believe it. Old things have passed away and all things. There has been a transformation that is supernatural on the inside of you. I'm a new creature. Okay, now, 2 Corinthians, where's that found? Come on, I'm going to make you work a little bit. Where's it found? We just went through this. I'm hearing somebody say 2 Corinthians 5:17. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Bill, get that down. Shame on you. Pull that off the screen. You're not helping me at all. Okay, now here's the deal. All right. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? All right. Now, this scripture right here, listen close. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. A little bit of paraphrase. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where is it found? Okay, you ready for another easy one? Stand to your feet today. Listen, you coming here and listening on a Sunday morning and getting fired up and excited, you know, it's like spraying ether in a carburetor. It'll get you screaming for a few hours, but by Monday afternoon, you're going to be in the hole. Or Tuesday. Listening to me preach and you getting excited about what I preach is like listening to somebody else take a shower. But it's not going to do you any good until you take a shower. And this is what that means. Do you know what the Word says? And do you know it for yourself? Can you find it and show it to somebody else? I'm not trying to shame you. We're a grace church, a grace and faith church. I don't know what we are. We're just a Jesus church. How about that? So here's the deal. Now, in that same chapter, so everybody say 2 Corinthians 5. Now, instead of 17, I'm trying to make this easy. For me too, come on. 2 Corinthians 5. Instead of 17, let's drop the 1. And here's what we're going to say. 2 Corinthians 5:7. And here's what it says. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't care what abuses there have been. Phooey on all that. What I'm looking at is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that the just, how many just we got in the house today, will barely get by, hang on the end of their rope, somehow make it through by just the nick of time with just enough left to get there. God's grace helps us cope and somehow through the storm, we show up ragged, tattered, but praise God we're there. You know, you can go that way, but you don't have to. For He's given us the victory. And I'm glad the victory is based on His love for us, not on our love for Him. The law commanded, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Whew, men tried. God even honored under the old covenant men who tried. But all men failed. The beauty of the new covenant is, He no longer says, thou shalt. But Hebrews reveals under the new covenant, He changed all the terminology. It is no longer thou shalt. But now He says, I will establish a new covenant. I will forgive your iniquities and sins and will remember them no more. I will remember. I will. Versus thou shalt. How many are glad for what He wills now in Jesus? And those who open up their hearts to receive, the Bible says they reign in life. Is there anything about the word reign that sounds weak to you? Now here's what 2 Corinthians, so where the scripture that says we walk by faith, not by sight. Am I losing my battery pack? Do we have another mic I can use? I'll give this to you. Is it okay? Okay. Thank you. We're going to talk about confession here in a minute. How do I unhook this? Can I unhook this right here? Are we on? All right, till we get set up there. Thank you, guys. So y'all standing and wondering why we're still standing. Okay, so here's the deal. The just shall live by faith. Where's it found? I mean, excuse me. We walk by faith and not by sight. Where's it found? 7. There you go. Now, what does 2 Corinthians 5:7 say? Where's that found? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Where's that found? All right. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? What does 2 Corinthians 5:7 say? Woo! Are you glad? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith. We good? Hallelujah. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, I walk by faith. Shout it out. I walk by faith. Come on. I walk by faith. Wife, look at your hubby. Hubby, look at your wife. I walk by faith. Not by sight. Come on, one more time. Tell him like you mean it. Nobody's talking to you, Egan. What's the deal here, brother? Here, you can talk to me. I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
And not by sight. Come on, people. Turn behind you. Say, I walk by faith. And not by sight. Now, how many know right now that in itself is a confession of faith? Because a lot of us are struggling with what we see and feel. I got it. So does Jesus. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit, that in our infirmities, that's not talking about sickness, He's talking about the weaknesses of our flesh. How many know we still live on planet Earth? We still live in an earth suit. We've got some struggles. How many got some struggles in here? Well, that's why we're dwelling here. And did you notice, you may be seated, did you notice that when we first started talking about the issue of faith, after a few weeks, everybody in the house was getting slammed. I said, did you notice? This isn't by accident. I know I've watched this for years. Big churches, little churches. But I'll never back off talking about faith because my Bible says faith is the victory. And there's a way. If we will open up our heart and our minds and will not back off, if we will press and find out what Jesus was talking about when he said, speak to your mountain. I've been in places and I've watched it right here in our own church. I've watched people when I told them, turn to Mark 11:23 and begin to talk about speaking to a mountain. Watch them roll their eyes and leave like some other man owned that verse. That's Jesus talking, folks. What's happening to us? He says there is a way to kick open the door. Are you here today? To kick open the door to the supernatural. How many know that the believer is called to live in another realm while we are in this realm? Here's one that we quote over and over and over again. And I hope you can tell me where this one's at. Another test. Here we go. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the Spirit. No. The life that I now live in the flesh. I live that life in the flesh, in my earth suit, on planet earth, buffeted, tossed about, persecuted, days of victory, days of struggle, but daily in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It isn't even your faith. Even your faith was a gift from him. It's his faith in you. And he says that the just, how many righteous we got in the house, shall live by faith. And when the Word of God, when the Spirit of God says, the righteous shall live, how many know that word live does not have anything to do with anything other than a supernatural, higher level of living as we in the flesh can walk in the supernatural. Are you here today? You've heard me give the testimonies. My little baby girl that led worship this last week, Hashimoto hypothyroidism, permanent. Not so much. Mom and Daddy put the seed of the Word of God in her. It grew, and at 19, 20 years of age, scared us half silly when she said, I want you to take communion. Believe God with me. I'm tired of the fight. I'm drawing a line. It's over. I'm not living like this. Completely healed. No medical intervention. I'm not taking away. I said this last week. I'm being redundant on purpose. Last week, I said, we have people in here that have had knee operations. But that's where they were at. And they said, Pastor, believe God with me that this will be a successful supernatural operation. I totally am with that. I prayed for other people that were completely healed of cancer. I prayed for other people who said, I'm not there. But what I can believe is that the chemo will have no effect on me in any way, that I will stay strong. I'll walk through it. And I said, you know what? We can agree on that. Either way, we've got God involved. I don't want to confuse your or let's try to put God in a box. What I'm trying to say is God will meet you. He will try to find, he will help us by his Spirit find a place of agreement where we can get in faith, for the just shall live by faith. I believe it's God's best always to heal us completely, every time. But how many know we're growing and we're on different levels in different areas? He knows that. He's working with us. He's helping us. But listen, the more you get the Word of God in you, the stronger your ability to release faith becomes. And it seems like most believers are content to just have enough to get by. How many know that's not God's fault? But he provides all that we need. Bump your neighbor one more time. Say, the just shall live by faith. Bump your other neighbor and say, I walk. I'm learning. I walk by faith and not by sight. Where's it found? Okay, let's stop. Start over again. Where's it found? Yeah, that's good. And what does 2 Corinthians 5:7 say again? I want that to burn in your heart this entire week. And let that begin to germinate on the inside of you. I may know that most people, and sadly enough, most believers walk by sight. They walk by what they feel. I've got a really neat little book that I've had for years and years. We used to hand these out 25, 30 years ago in Spanish. It's called This New Life by Billy Joe Daugherty. It has this little teeny book, power packed. Has chapters 1 through 7, you must be born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Chapter 2, chapter 3, your faith has made you whole. Healing for Christians, baptism of the Holy Spirit, victorious abundant life, and confessing God's word. This would be termed a word of faith book. I reject the term. If it's in the Bible, and it's how we're supposed to live. If it's what grace has empowered us to do, we ought to examine it. For this is the victory, Paul said, even our faith. Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. Okay? The just, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, the prophet, the writer of Hebrews, and right on down the line, the just shall live by faith. Now, in this little book, it starts out, it has little segments, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, but it starts out, it says, what is faith? Of course, we've been talking about faith for now several months, a couple of months at least. What is faith? And he goes to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is, we know the verse. How do we get faith? So then faith comes by hearing. That's talking about when you were not born again, you did not know who God was. Faith came to you by hearing the word of God. And the word of God brought, like words, like buckets of faith were delivered to you. And you opened up and received. And faith was deposited in you to reach out and respond to God's grace, right? Romans 10:17. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now for the believer, faith doesn't necessarily come anymore by hearing the word of God. We have faith deposited in us. But how many know the continual hearing of the word of God teaches and causes us to be able to respond and activate faith? The more you hear the word of God. How many know that not all of the Bible is about faith? But every word in the Bible is a roadmap to faith. in some way, shape, or form. That's exactly what it's all about. Who can have faith? Romans 12:3, we've heard this over and over again. To every man. To everyone is given a measure of faith. Okay? Faith acts on the word of God. Now, it gets over here to this little part right here. It says, faith is not a feeling. All this packed in this one little chapter, this one little book. Sometimes people base their spiritual experiences on feelings and emotions. Problems arise when the feelings and emotions change. If they have not been grounded in the word of God, doubt will arise as to whether or not the experience was genuine. For faith to be consistent, it must be based on something more, with more stability than your feelings. You know, marriage is that way. How many know marriage is not a contract? Marriage is a covenant. And a covenant is cut before God, and it says, I'm yours and you're mine. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Everything. Paul even says to husbands and wives, your body is not your own. It belongs to the other. Who you are. We live in a world that tells us, demand your rights, declare your independence. You are your own. Now listen, I'm not talking about, if you're in a situation where there's abuse, get the heck out of Dodge. If you're in a situation where things are not good and there's danger there, you need to get moving. You understand? But I'm talking about in a normal, healthy, you found the Lord under the or maybe it was outside of the Lord and you both got saved, whatever the case may be. At some point, you recognize that marriage is a covenant before God. And we live in that marriage then according to God's way of thinking. How many know that marriage takes faith? A healthy marriage takes faith. Because feelings come and feelings go. I mean, it's textbook. How many more marriage manuals do we need from the church? You go back to the basics, and here's what it is. I made a covenant. I cut a covenant. I love. When I feel like I love, that's wonderful. When I don't feel like I love, I still act like I love. Are you with me? A lot of what we say, boy, I can get myself in trouble. How about you? Okay. But we learn that marriage cannot be lived by how you feel or emotions. I watch, we always pick on the ladies about how emotional women are. Oh, they just talk so much. You know, we've all heard the 20,000 words a day versus 6,000. You know, studies done. Women, 20,000 words. How many men can agree with that? Sometimes I just want to say, Jackie, get to the point! And I'm missing the point. The point is, she just needs time with me and she needs me to hear her out. Shut up, Leiford. And do what the Bible says, deal with women according. But sometimes it drives me nuts. Sometimes, huh? Oh, I don't know. But Jackie just backed it up. So there we go. So at any rate, and then men, we can sit around and, grunt and pass gas and never say a word, and we're the best of buddies. Yes, I did say that in church. I hardly say two words. Watch it, whatever. We're different. Aren't you glad we're different? Amen. The world today is declaring we're not, but we're different. And God made us that way. It wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. And we're different. And it's more than just plumbing. God created us different in every sense of the word. And that difference should not be a reason to break up. That should be a reason to work on those differences. When we submit them to God, are beautiful and bring contrast that would never be, and things that need to take place that never would be if two people who, by the world standards, are incompatible, which I don't even know what that is. How many know that at some point in marriage, you're probably, if you're both growing as an individual, how in the world did I, I'm supposed to be talking about faith, not marriage. How many know that if you're both growing as an individual, but you're not communicating and talking and fellow, I'm talking about a Christian marriage, that you will grow apart? This is why Scripture said, don't be unequally yoked. Don't hook up with somebody who is. That's a terrible terminology. Let me back up. Because that's misunderstood nowadays. That doesn't mean what it did back 25. Don't pursue a relationship with somebody who isn't born again. Light with darkness will never work. There is true incompatibility there that is can't be fixed outside of a miracle. Now, how many have seen miracles? I've seen people who married and messed up, and you say, you absolutely. How many know God's grace and His mercy will cause that which shouldn't be? But how many know we shouldn't live that way? For every miracle, there's wrecks all over the place. Now, here's the deal. In a marriage, as we grow and as we stay open in our communication and as we walk in that marriage by faith and refuse, we know we cut a covenant before God and now we behave and we act according to that covenant. How many know that we'll continue to grow together? We'll continue to know one another. We'll continue to develop as individuals, but yet as one. And there's something beautiful, very beautiful about that, that the world doesn't see much anymore. Now, if you failed and you're one of those casualties, don't sit there and let the devil beat you up. I mean, you're glad for the grace of God today, that there's new beginnings for every one of us. So you failed there, and I failed elsewhere, that we all have fallen short. But I'm talking for those that are beginning, or maybe you're dreaming of beginning again. Trust God. Because it's not a contract, it's not even an agreement between you and another person. That will fail. Are you here? But when we learn that marriage, see, marriage is a type and shadow of the relationship we have with God. The Bible speaks of Jesus being the bridegroom. Speaks of us being the bride. Tells husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husbands as Lord. He's not talking about Lord like lording over you or using a doormat or treating you like a servant. He's saying that there is a beautiful flow of love and honor, and inside that auspices, there is incredible agreement and strength. There is no true strong man, strong in character, strong in integrity, strong in his walk with God. You're going to see almost every time, except for those like Paul, called with a gift of celibacy. And I understand there's exceptions to these rules, but generally, you see a man who's stable and strong and settled, you'll find that there is a godly wife who believes in him, who supports him, who prays for him, who speaks into his life, who doesn't hide in his shadow, but walks with him. One puts 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. Maybe you're past the marriage thing and you're single. Got it. That's why we have a body. That's why we've got other sisters, other brothers that we can get in agreement with. Are you with me? Get in faith with. But back to the marriage thing. We see a picture here. This whole thing of marriage. How many remember Your first love. I remember how bitter that was when it fell apart. I remember when you were married. And I know, I realize that the memory for some may be a little painful, but when you were first married, how in love you were. I remember having a fight over toothpaste. At some point, now that's, we're kind of, you know, making light there, but how many know there are some really serious things that we ignored, blinded by infatuation and love, that suddenly became glaringly obvious 6 months to a year, maybe sooner in a marriage, and we had a choice to make. Are you with me? I'm talking about the best of marriages. In God, found Jesus, you're still going to have these struggles. And somewhere you have to not live by feelings, but you have to believe that the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart is still there. And regardless of what I feel, I'm going to walk in that love. I'm going to talk in that love. I'm not going to react. How many know we're going to blow it? And we have, but we don't have to live that way consistently. We come back to the covenant. And for those that will hang on, today's world, young people nowadays struggle with this stuff because most of them don't last months, let alone years. Because they never get past that first hurdle. But if you can get past that first hurdle, you'll find a love in that relationship that you never knew before that. Now listen, we live in a culture that, look at us in here right now. We're spirit-filled. We're a spirit-filled church. We embrace all this stuff. Some of you are uncomfortable with the subject. Why? Because in the culture and world that we live in, this is just a little bit edgy. This isn't edgy. This is the norm of God's plan. Now, here's the deal. Here is the deceptive little thing. God says that the way He loves us, and the way He wants us to trust Him because of that love works just like this. Why do you think the devil is working overtime to destroy the family, to destroy marriage? You got Oregon right now that just passed a law that you can kill a baby in the 9th month for any reason you want. We're going crazy. Something is very, very wrong. And where's the church? I don't get into politics. Just pray. That's foolish. That's foolish. He's doing everything he can to attack the family. Why? Because in that core, in that place of purity and faithfulness and trust and faith, we find a picture of God. Why does God compare earthly marriage to the relationship that He has through His Son towards the world He loved? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, how many whosoevers we got in the house this morning, whosoever believed on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I love the next verse. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, I love it. Beautiful. Challenge you. I don't care where you failed or what's going on. Latch hold of great grace and grace love. I don't care how many times you failed in relationships. I don't even care where you're at right now. He loves you. You're valued. You're precious. There's new beginnings. He'll start right where you're at. I don't care how many times. But listen, don't play the world's game. It burns you every time. Find out what it means. You say, you're preaching this way because I'm here, Pastor Lee. I promise before God right now, I had no intention of talking about this. This is no reaction to anybody that is here. I don't even know where it came from, but by the Spirit of God. So if the shoe fits, wear it. If I'm stepping on your toes, pull them under your chair. But here's the deal. I want you to know God loves you and He's got a plan. But we need to quit thinking after the flesh, because the flesh, what we sow to the flesh, causes us to reap corruption. But what we sow to the Spirit, that is trusting God's plan. How does that happen? By faith. By simple trust. I don't know how I got into the marriage deal, but here it goes. Faith is not a feeling. You're not saved because you feel saved. How many wake up some days and you don't feel saved? You're saved because you've put your faith in God's word. And you've put your faith in God's word and you've acted on it. I believe and I take it by faith. You may feel great today, tired tomorrow, lonely next week, but hallelujah, God's word is going to say the same thing yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, Hebrews 13:8, write it down. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:5 declares, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do to me. My paraphrase. There it is. Okay? Hebrews. Feelings are influenced by what you see, what you've read, and what you hear. Everyone is exposed to things that are not consistent with God's word. If these things control your feelings and your feelings control your faith, you can be a Christian yet controlled by Satan's devices. Yes, you can be a Christian controlled by Satan's devices. You can be a grace person who is firmly, firmly planted in God's love for you and getting your tail whipped every day of your Christian life. Are you here today? Now, 1 Timothy 6, chapter 12. How many know what that verse says? Timothy, by the Spirit of God, is being challenged by the great apostle Paul, this young pastor, and he's saying, fight the good fight of faith. In this fight, lay hold on things that are eternal in the now. I mean, we have great and exceeding precious promises that in Him are yes and amen. Your faith must be controlled by God's word, not by what you feel, not by what circumstances look like, not by what others tell you. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Where's that found? Come on, some of you aren't voting. Where's that found? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 4:18. If you're taking notes, I hope you are. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Say with me today, God's word is eternal. Say it one more time, God's word is eternal. Here's the thing, your spiritual eyes must be focused on God, who is unseen, by looking at His word. You getting anything out of this? Are you growing in grace? Are you growing in faith? Now here's the deal. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. Beautiful story. We've quoted this many times. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're doing good for time. Praise God. Okay, Mark chapter 5. Now here's the thing. I know that some of you are in some great battles. My job, I believe, is to help simplify what religion has complicated and help you see that God has not put you to a litmus test, that you got to get everything perfect all at once, that His love for you ebbs and flows according to your performance in faith, but rather, on the contrary, as we trust God by faith daily, we grow in that faith and in our ability to be able to release faith. Faith, once again, as I said before, faith is the door to the supernatural. And I believe that words from a heart belief kick that door open. Now, I want you to look at something here. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, you preach it, Malachi. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, underline that in your Bible, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You got people pressing you and bumping into you and all squished around, and you're saying, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. See, what we don't understand in this culture is that she broke a bunch of legal laws in reference to the Jewish law to go in as sick and unclean to reach in and touch a rabbi. This is trouble. But when she heard of Jesus, this wasn't any rabbi. What he was talking about was entirely different. Now look at what he says. He said unto her, daughter, underline in your Bible, thy faith. This was before people could even be born again. He hadn't died yet. But he's still referencing her ability to respond to his word by faith. Faith comes by hearing. When she heard of Jesus, this is what Paul is talking about in Romans 10:17. When she heard, faith comes by hearing. Jesus says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be whole. Notice she was already healed. But he's now pronouncing of her, be whole of thy plague. I think that's a strange response. There's more there than I think we realize. It was more than just the flow of blood stopped. Something was supernaturally changed permanently in her body. Are we believing God enough? Are we seeing how great he is? Or have we let the world and what we see here and feel limit our faith? How many know he still loves it? Loves us. How many know he still approves of us? How many know that he there's never day goes by that our, as Andrew Womack says, that my picture isn't on his mantle. Woo! He loves Lee. And he loves you. Are you here today? But in this life, faith can help you rise above. Every week, every time we talk about it, if you're open, you're hearing and drawing, God is depositing in you knowledge that breaks the power of the enemy in every sense of the word. This isn't just preaching. This is God's word. Now, some of you have a little bit of a challenge, and it's this. You're believing God for somebody else. How many know that we can believe God and stand in faith and stand in agreement? But there's a limit there. You can't be somebody else's faith for them. You can stand in faith and encourage them to hook up with you. You can believe God and pray, and through prayer, saturate where they're at. But somewhere, at some point, they have to hear of Jesus, not just with their head, but with their heart. And if they'll respond, faith arises in them and in that. So don't you let the devil beat you up because you're believing God for somebody else and it doesn't seem to be working. You stand your ground, you believe God in faith, you continue to speak the word over, but realize your main place of agreement there is that they open their heart and reach out by faith. Somebody's got to get that word in there, you understand? But individually, we who are righteous live by faith. Am I talking to anybody this morning? We're hitting a lot of stuff, and I understand that, but I told you we were going to get into this faith thing. This is how we live. Now, he says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. How many are familiar with T.L. Osborne? Yep. Great man. Great, incredible. I got to know his grandsons very well. In fact, I interpreted for Tommy for a number of months in Honduras. I saw miracles, undeniable. Listen, straight up, cold turkey, right there in front of my eyes, watched a kid who had no eardrum. Instantly here. The strange thing about that miracle is that he came back with his family blown away with papers from the doctor that showed that he still had no eardrum. And we in front of a couple of thousand of people on a soccer field as people shouted and praised God, watched a boy hear a whisper in all that noise of a crowd in an outdoor meeting. Hear a whisper in the ear that had no eardrum. Don't limit your God. I'm not telling you about something I heard or read about. I was right here. I told you about my daughter. I could bore you all day with the supernatural way God can respond. You know what? If he does it for one, he'll do it for all. We're limited many times by our upbringing and our thinking. But here's the thing. Paul tells us in Romans 12 that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds with the Word of God. Now, here's the deal. Now, I know this is nothing new for most, but you know what? It's new in the Spirit because we're being called to remembrance because this is where the believer lives. T.L. Osborne said, many of you are waiting for me. Great healing evangelist. Tremendous guy. My emphasis today, by the way, is not healing. Okay? But how many know you can't hardly talk about faith without that being? Because how many know that the greatest wealth you have other than family is your health? You can say what you want to. But nothing, if you're not healthy or your health is down, nothing else really matters. Are you with me? You think God didn't take that into consideration? Why do you think Scripture says over and over and over and over again, His Word brings life and brings health? Proverbs says, His Word gives it strengthens, it heals, it touches the marrow in our bones. You know that's a reference, according to modern science, to your immune system? Do you know that in that same chapter of Proverbs, it speaks of health to your navel? Do you know that your health, your immune system, primarily comes out of marrow and digestion? I don't know exactly how that works, primarily digestion. But he says that his word is health to your belly. Are you limiting what you believe by what you see, hear, and feel? I want to challenge you weekly. The just. We don't just cope and get through. He helps us rise above. Let's continue. T.L. Osborne said, many of you are waiting for me to quit teaching so you can receive your healing. He says, but I'm waiting for you to receive your healing so I can quit teaching. That means that just while Jesus was teaching, people were healed. When she heard of Jesus, she said, if I may but touch his clothes. Isn't that something? Just hearing his word, just while you're sitting there right now hearing the word, you can be set free, healed, and delivered. I realize I'm laying it on you today, but how many know that this is the victory? How many interested in victory? Amen. How many hungry and ready to go home? That's half of the American's problem. Okay, so here we go. Let's move just a little bit more. Just while you're sitting there, you can believe. So, how do we cure unbelief? Ignorance. Romans 10, 17, we already read it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God is faith food. You got a problem? Find the word of God. Now I realize I'm really getting down to basics, but the word of God is faith food. This is what he says. When you feed on the word of God, faith comes. We know that. When faith comes, confidence comes. Fear goes, and you know. Did you catch that? Faith comes, fear goes, and you know the word of God. Faith comes by feeding on the word of God. It's the way our faith works. It's directly related to our feeding. How our faith works is directly related to our feeding on the word of God. We already said it, and I'm going to say it again. The whole Bible is not about faith, but the whole Bible has the capacity to produce faith in every area of your life. Faith for salvation, faith for healing, prosperity, receiving the Holy Spirit. All these things are things that Jesus dealt with. Now, our life, and I'll try to quit with this. How many would agree with me that our life in Jesus, our walk with God, can be summed up basically, primarily, in two things? How many know that our life, as we commune with God, as we walk with God, there is that which we call prayer? How many know what prayer is? Our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, up there somewhere, we beseech thee that thou wouldst grant unto us this day thy great bountiful blessing. How many know that's not prayer? What's prayer? Huh? Sometimes prayer can sound like this. Help! Other times it can be just you going in the truck, in your car. Lord, it's sure a beautiful day. I've been a punk the last couple of days. I've been upset about stuff that I didn't need to be upset about. I was short with Jackie, and now I'm stopping right now. I'm going, man, I've got so much to be thankful. God, you are so good. And the next thing I know, the cab's just filling up. And we're talking. That's prayer. That's real prayer. It's communicating. I mean, communicating's not one way. We're loving him and he's loving us back. He's loving us and we're loving him back. Prayer. Tied right in with this close is praise. Praising him. When you don't know what else to say, shut up. Say, you're good. All right, now I'm hurting. Man, so-and-so said something to me this has been rolling around in my gut and I'm mad. I'm angry. I've let the whole house know. But I'm sick right now of being sick. I'm tired of being tired. I'm done with the anger thing. Somewhere in this, I've got to quit. I've got to get a hold of myself. Are you with me? What am I doing? Lord, right now, I receive forgiveness for that mess, and I praise you. I've let enough of the wrong thing go out, and I begin to worship you. Praise. See, praising God and prayer is the way we spiritually breathe. Praise and prayer. I remember the old song, this is the air I breathe. How's it go? How's it start? This is the air I breathe. What's the first part of it? We're not going to sing it yet. I'm not done preaching. Easy. I know you want to go home, but I got an hour left. Your whole, huh? Yeah, but there's another line. This is my daily bread, your very word. So this is the air I breathe. Yes. This is how we breathe. Prayer. Yes. Praise. And at midnight, in bonds, in prison, Paul and Silas whipped and beaten for doing the right thing. We're heard singing at midnight, praising God. God, I don't know why, I don't understand, but I worship you, I praise you, you're my deliverer. It sure doesn't look like it, Paul. Looks like you're in a wreck. Looks like you did the right thing and God didn't stick by you. Oh, God, you are good, you are merciful, you are my light and my salvation, my healer, my deliverer. So shall I be saved from mine enemy. Paul, you got dung up over your ankles, you got sores all over your back, you got a black eye. Looks like your message isn't working. Oh, I worship you, God. I honor you. I love you. People, are you here today? And suddenly, there was a mighty earthquake, and the building shook. Their bands were loose. Prison doors flew open. Don't quit in due time. We've been talking about it for several weeks. In due time. That's not God's timing, like it's going to happen someday. His timing. Listen, as we believe, his timing, Darlene said it yesterday, is now. He's just waiting for us to hook up with the God of now. His deliverance is now. It's already. Prayer and praise is a form of breathing. But here's something that I don't want you to know, though. But the Word of God is your food. This is why at the beginning of this message, I lovingly chided you about verses that we as believers not only should embrace, but we should know them for us. Because the Word of God is your food. If you're not eating food, it won't be long before the breathing stops. Are you here this morning? If you're not eating food, it won't be long before the breathing stops. Your anchor, your word for today. How many of you have ever been going through a rough time and you're in the Word and a verse that you've read 1,000 times just goes, whoom! And you go, yes! And that quick, the answer is there. It was always there. God was just lovingly waiting on you to catch up, doing everything he could in the Spirit. In other words, you need a good diet of the Word of God. Because you need breathing and you need the eating. Are you here today? John chapter 4, Jesus said, they that worship me, you used to worship over there. But now the worship is right here. For they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. In truth. What's the truth about your body? What's the truth about your direction in life? What's the truth about your relationship? What's the truth about God's provision in your life? What's the truth? How many are glad for the truth? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. We got people sitting in here, and I don't want to expose anybody. We got people in here that had situations that were terminal. We got others that are still in a struggle. But if you set your eye like a flint, trust God and begin to open your mouth, not just in church or when you're around the right people and you know what they need to hear, but you set your mouth. Now listen, I didn't get to where I wanted to get today in reference to that, but we're going to talk about the, I never do. We're going to talk about the mouth. Last week, I told you this week, we'd talk about where Jesus goes to his own hometown. We didn't make it. We'll get there. Where he goes to his own hometown. And because of people's belief, he could there do no mighty works, except lay hands on a few sick folk, a few that came to him. Jesus wasn't limited. His power, like we were talking, his power was just as great. He is God of the universe in fleshly clothes. His power didn't change at all. He wasn't rendered powerless, but the people were incapable of receiving power at their disposition because of, that's just Jesus. Isn't he the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Oh, yeah, we know him. In this, I want to begin to show you there's a process, how Jesus worked. Listen, and he tells his disciples that the door to the supernatural is found right under your nose, your mouth, as the word of God comes in. For she said, I know if I can but touch his clothes. I know. How did that knowing come? It's T.L. Osborne. Some of you are waiting for me to quit teaching so that you can be healed. I'm waiting for you to be healed so I can quit teaching. Everywhere Jesus went, he taught the word of God. How many in here are sensing faith rising? Come on, are you in here today? Faith, right? Let's deal with it. Let's don't hold back. I said a little while ago, the first few weeks that we hit this, man, it's like everybody got a blast because the devil is threatened by you getting, he's okay with you getting grace. Hey, he's lost you anyway. You confess Jesus as your Lord. As long as he can just keep you inactive, as long as he can keep you just rolling around in the love of God and not doing anything, he's okay with that. He'll kind of leave you alone a little bit. But the minute you stand up and say, wait a minute, if I am righteous in God and he says that that righteousness just causes me to reign in life, wait a minute, I'm tired of being running around by you, and you start having a voice, get ready. He didn't like that, because now you're stepping into his area. You're saying, wait a minute, buddy, that ground that you think belongs to you belongs to me. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This mind is the mind of Christ. This person has somewhere to go. Healing is in these hands. Paul said, lift up holy hands. Come on, people of God, all over where you're sitting. He says, lift up holy hands. Did you know that by faith your hands are holy? He says, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Know that God in you is able to cause you to rise above everything. Smith Wigglesworth said, no man remains fettered. No kind of fettering, no kind of bondage can remain when faith comes in to play. I don't care what it is. For the just shall live by faith. Bump your neighbor, say, the just shall live by faith. Bump your other neighbor, tell him, I walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Oh man, I can't wait to get to the rest of this. I know in my knower. Some of you don't realize that Jesus already broke through for you, but the breakthrough seems held up for you, and that part of your walk is right there. It's right there at the door. Stay to it. We learn to walk by faith. Let's stand to our feet today. Are you blessed? You glad you came to church? Did you get something out of this? Bit of a shotgun blast today, and I love it. Don't apologize for any of it. How many are glad for Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands one more time all over this room. Jesus, how we love you. Come on, let's go ahead and talk to him a minute, can you? Individually, all around the room, thank you. Thank you that in this flesh I live. Come on, all over the room, thank you that in this flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God. Woo! Thank you today for victory that is mine. Hallelujah, because of who you are on the inside of me. Thank you that what John said is a reality. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, shout it out. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, man. As He is, so am I. Come on, are you here today? As He is, so am I in this world. Hallelujah. Come on, with hands lifted high, let it come out of your mouth. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than well able to take the land. Hallelujah. Strong and ready by the grace of God. Right now, with my hands lifted high, I thank you for the anointing that flows from the tip of my... Come on, all over this room right now. The anointing of God that flows from the tip of my fingers to the tip of my toes, surging through my body, driving out darkness, driving out lack, driving out disease. A surge in my immune system. A surge in my belief system. A surge in my love for God. A surge of the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, He's in here today. How He loves you as we respond. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, say it with me all over the house. I reign. Come on, how many can go home? And on Tuesday morning, when it doesn't feel good, open your mouth and say, I receive the abundance of the grace of God right now by faith. I feel like crap. It feels like Tuesday, but out of my mouth rises a higher word. Yes, I did say that in church during the end of the service. Listen, rises a higher word that says, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I reign in life. Ooh, hallelujah. I don't know where to quit. I get to this place in the service and I feel like I could just go on for another hour. I'm not kidding. You're like, come on, man, let us go. It's time. I'm hungry. Yeah, I know. For the word, right? That's why we're staying longer. I know. Me too. One more time. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. And while they were praising, while they were worshiping, while they were ministering, while the word of God was being rehearsed, not in silence, not in shame, but openly declaring the goodness of God. Can you say with me today, suddenly? Can you say with me today, suddenly? Come on, can you say with me today, suddenly? Hallelujah, Lord, we love you today. We bless you today, Sholobokosia. How we love you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. My healer, my deliverer. Oh, man, help that person. That healing hurdle that is eluded and eluded and eluded. Transformation. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. A fight of faith. A declaration. Through tears that affirms the goodness of God. For joy. Come on, are you here today? Joy. I want to go ahead and sing it while we close. I'm desperate for you, Lord. I'm desperate for you, Lord. Just a moment. I don't know where to quit, so I'm going to quit right here. Lift your hands. I'm going to pray for you, dismiss you. We're going to open up the altars as they continue to worship. If you came here with a need or a prayer need, you want to be born again, receive the baptism, whatever. We got people that can lead you into that. I'll remain up here for a time as we normally do. But Father, I thank you today in Jesus' name that me and our people, my people and I, right now, We stand. Come on, people of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. We stand. Come on, hook up with me, people. We stand right now in faith for a higher level. We're kicking the door down. Are you hearing me? Right now, I thank you for a blessing, a surge, a supernatural work. Devil, come on, say it with me. Devil, you've done your best, and your best is not enough. Greater is He that is in me. Father, I thank you for your blessing, your power, the gospel this week that just flows and surges. Some of us been through a battle. It's time. We need a week where just the joy of the Lord is just flowing. We've been through the press over the last month. We've been through some battles. The devil has challenged our faith, but we're breaking through. Man, we've been inside that egg just a working and packing away, and all of a sudden the piercing light of the breakthrough, I can just see it. Father, I thank you this week in Jesus' name. There is a surge and a strength and a confidence and an affirmation of faith in your people. In come on, how many can hook up and agree with that? How many are looking forward to it? A week, we need a lift this week. Father, I thank you that they that wait upon the Lord, they're going to rise up with wings this week, with eagles, as they trust you, as they honor you. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen and amen. Bless you. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Share Jesus with somebody. Bring him to church next week. Let's fill the place up as we learn to walk by faith. Come on.